Suffer both to grow into the harvest. Words, my friends in Christ, taken from today's gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the gospel today, we have one of the many parables that our blessed Lord told to explain to his followers the kingdom of God. Now, the prophets and John the Baptist and many others expected a perfect kingdom to be established on earth, established by Almighty God and all the wicked excluded from it. The Jews thought this would be brought about by the mere coming of the Messiah. So too our Lord's apostles. We see that time and time again from their questions to our Lord in the gospel. But today, our Lord gives the true idea of the kingdom of heaven with his parable, that the good and the evil come together and are present in this world, and that there are two stages in the kingdom, one on earth and the other in heaven. The full perfection of the kingdom is effected in heaven. In the earthly stage of the kingdom, the good and the bad are together. Now, there are some fundamental truths in this parable. First of all, God is not the origin of evil. Men are the origin of evil. And secondly, it is in the next life that the good and the evil will be separated. In this world, there will be a mixture. Suffer both to grow until the harvest. This presents the problem of the existence of evildoers in this life. The common questions: why does God permit sinners to exist? Why not wipe them out? Why, and this even occurs in the Old Testament and frequently in the book of Psalms, why does God even seem to favor them? St. Thomas Aquinas was asked this question, and he said this, that the wicked oblige those who are good to practice the virtues that they might otherwise neglect. Humility, patience, charity. As well, the good offer prayers and sacrifices. St. Augustine adds to this that if God were to remove sinners, you would remove the martyrs as well, and their glories and their heroism. So that's one explanation of St. Thomas. Another is that he who is wicked today may easily be among the good tomorrow. Someone who is a great sinner may indeed convert and go on to practice great virtue and to do great things. We saw that a few weeks ago in the Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul. What an enemy he was of Almighty God and of the true faith. But because he accepted the grace of conversion, he became a great hero of the faith. So it can be for anyone. So it may be for some of you. Another point St. Thomas makes is this, that many people may appear to be evil, but in fact are not. No one knows the inner secrets of the heart but Almighty God. And that we see in another incident in the gospel. Think of the judgment that the Pharisees made on Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus, remember, was the short little guy. He was a merchant, I guess. And he wanted to see our Lord as our Lord was coming along, so to get a view above the crowd, he climbed up the sycamore tree. So our Lord went to eat with him. And then the Pharisees complained, ah, he eats with sinners. But the actual situation was other than that, that Zacchaeus had a real righteousness, that there was a justice in his dealings. He fasted, he forgave. And our Lord makes the point, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. Also, this opportunity reflects the very wisdom and the mercy of God. He gives sinners time to repent. And this is the proof of his love. Now, that is the theology behind it, the explanation that we draw from the Holy Gospels. But what about the Christian and sinners? We see the severity of the spirit of the world in contrast with Christian mercy. And this is demonstrated to us time and time and time again. The spirit of the world is never to forgive someone, to always hold something against you. It's constantly repeated in the media. Neither forgets nor forgives. And ancient sins are thrown up years and years later at you. 35 years ago. So you were stupid as and immoral as a frat boy when you were in college. But you straightened out, you tried to turn around your life and accomplish something good. But the spirit of the world, if it hates you, is to hold that against you decades and decades later. Or the recent incidents in Virginia. I, of course, have no use for the governor of Virginia, who is pro-abortion and pro-infanticide. But you see the spirit of the world and what happened to him, because there is the one sin, the one offense that cannot be forgiven, or one of them at least, is an offense against identity politics. So this guy was stupid 35 years ago, maybe, and was kidding around, went to a costume party and wore blackface. And now that's never going to be forgotten or forgiven. There's a clamor for blood because of that. That's the spirit of the world, and the spirit of the world is to be unforgiving on such things, but on the real sins, when it comes to slaying babies, they give themselves a free pass. Neither forgets nor forgives. For the Jews and the Holocaust industry, we always hear about this. This is their movies and TV shows and all sorts of books, etc. And these old geezers, these drooling 90-year-old Nazis are wheeled out of nursing homes and put on trial and sent back to Moldova or wherever. All of this is built on this idea that there is no real forgiveness. It is important to remember that the saying that we have, I will forgive, but I'll never forget, that doesn't work really well in the Christian life. Because to begin to have the spirit of forgiveness, you have to do some forgetting. And that's what our Lord expects of us. Now, thus the world, but you know, the Samaritan city didn't receive our blessed Lord, and the apostles James and John, as usual, missing the point, said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? And our Lord rebukes them, and he says, you know not what spirit you are. The Son of Man came not to destroy souls, but to save. Or again, Simon the Pharisee, our Lord enters his house to eat. There's a woman who is a sinner who washes our Lord's feet with tears. And Simon the righteous thinks, if this man were a prophet, he would surely know who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, that she is a sinner. Our Lord, gentle in his rebukes, does this with a story. He says that a creditor had two debtors. One owed a large sum, the other a small sum. The creditor forgave both. Who, he says to Simon, loved him more? And the reasonable answer was the man who owed more. And of the woman, our Lord says then, remittuntur ei peccata multa quoniam delexit multum, that many sins are forgiven her because she hath loved much. So too, the servant in today's parable. He sees the wheat and the weeds, and he immediately reacts. He says, an enemy has done this. Don't give him the satisfaction. We'll show him, pull it up. But this is a destructive and an indiscreet zeal. Our Lord says, suffer both to grow until the harvest. Our spirit toward sinners must be the spirit of Christ. We desire not their destruction, but their salvation. Our tendency as trads sometimes leads to this kind of self-righteousness. But remember the warning of Scripture, let him who thinketh himself to stand take heed lest he fall. And the Son of Man came not to destroy souls, but to save them. So God in his love and his providence keeps sinners in this life. That's a way of indicating that there's still time for them. And he extends his arms to them with a welcoming and with a loving embrace. Let them then go to the throne of mercy, to the heart of Christ. And he will take the weeds from their own hearts and leave nothing but the grain that flowers unto life everlasting. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.